You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
And what a story that we have for you today. It's 8 minutes past two, and today we're chatting to a man who's just a champ. Our guest today is a real champ, a serious champ. He, after sending his CV just countless times to in order to secure a job many, many years ago, he then realized that there was an opportunity, there was something that he could do to earn an income. And he started waste picking after a random conversation, a conversation by chance with the man who was already doing this work. He just stopped one day and asked him about waste picking. And ever since then, his life has transformed. So he started out as a waste picker. He then went on to provide transportation for the other waste pickers, providing just a collection point because they walk for kilometer upon kilometer. We've seen them in and around our cities and the kind of distances they're forced to cover in order to move these bales of material from one point to another, to the collection sites, to the buyback sites. It's long stretches, of course. And so from one stepping stone to the next, Tsepo Mazibuko ended up building his own company, started out as a buyback facility, and now he owns a recycling company, recycling facilities, the owner of K1 Recycling. And he joins us this afternoon as we explore his life story, and looking at the upside of failure, which I think much of his life is a great testament to that. The lessons that were really difficult to learn, but ultimately were produced great reward in the end, those moments of success. Tsepo, good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, Aza. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Your story just touches me so much, Tsepo. I can't lie. I mean, all you have to do is ask my producer. All this whole morning, I was just saying, I cannot wait to talk to Abuti Tsepo about his life and his story. We'll get to where you are now, but let's start with just your upbringing, where you're from, just your early years before you got into recycling, before you got into waste picking.
Yes, okay. Yeah, Tsepo is originally from the township of Katlehong, in the east of Johannesburg. I was born and bred there. And that's where I grew up and went to school, you know, lived most of my life in Katlehong. So, yeah, I'm a guy who grew up in the township life and with a family. I had my siblings and, a father and a mother. Mm. And, growing up, life was good. A loving family that everything is good. We had our dreams, we had our hopes. We would talk around the table that when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. And, our parents would take care of us.
But
that didn't last long, because I think, as I explained earlier on, that to a producer, that things turned when my mother passed on, unfortunately, And that family that I had and, believed in, it was actually disturbed. But we kept together because we knew that she wanted the best for us. She had always tried her best and took us, to the best schools and all that. But I was hit with, there's a missile. It's not even a bomb, because there was a family meeting that was called, and I was told, the person that actually we just buried is the person that you came with. And I couldn't understand. He said, you are not a child of this family. This father that you know is actually not your father. So not only that, but you have to pack your bags and go. And I couldn't believe, I was shocked to say, what? I mean, I looked at my father and he was also helpless, and I couldn't believe. So, that's when my life took a turn, and I had to now start afresh, in life. And I was miserable. I was, I hated life. I hated myself. I hated even my mom to say, how does she leave me in a life like this, So that made me to lose hope, because I had a dream to become a doctor. I wanted to study and, become somebody, but I didn't want anything. So for 6 years, actually, I then went into a breakdown, depression. I went into alcohol. I tried some drugs. Actually, I just tried everything that could mess up my life and end it. Mm-hmm. And, but fortunately, there are good Samaritans out there. And I met a lady that actually encouraged me to say, you don't have to lose hope you don't make life, you can actually pick up your sources and move on. So yeah, that's been my upbringing. And as I said, that it's not part of my story that I always talk about. It's literally the first time, because I do a lot of talks, you know, being out of the country, but I never speak about this part. So, but that's the original Tsepo, where I come from. That's the upbringing that I had before we get to where I am now.
Yes, and because you also know the pain of unemployment as a result of, you know, that spiral and losing hope. And then on top of that, there aren't opportunities. You were unemployed. You talk about how you sent your CVs with no luck. You simply couldn't secure a job. Tell me about the conversation you had with the Brazilian that literally set you on this path.
You know, funny, as I said, that I met this lady who's today my darling wife, who actually encouraged me to not to lose hope in life. And, you know, she helped me because I was then taken for counseling. I received a lot of help. And then I got a courage and strength to say, okay, let me pick up my success. And we actually were dating and we decided to get married back in 2008. And now there was a challenge that I couldn't find employment because I spent 6 years of my life not upgrading myself or developing myself, you know. So it became difficult now for me to find a job because, I couldn't finish school because of the incident of my mother. I actually failed my matric and I didn't even have the desire to go back to school. So now I was faced with a new challenge of now having to care for my family because then we had one child and it became now another struggle because she was now the only one who was supporting the family.
Mm. You know?
And that made me feel less of a man to say, you know what, I've just overcome one hurdle and now I'm faced with another. I can't now. I tried to start my own family, but I'm failing. So what I did, I said, no, man. I mean, it's been 4 years trying to knock doors. I mean, I would go personally to look for a job. And when I arrived there, you know, the staff will come out and say, yeah, we thought you were from our head office. I said, no, please, I'm looking for a job. I'm not from the head office. They said, no, you look like a guy who should be employing other people, and that would break my heart. I then decided to say, I can't just sit around. Let me just do something, even if it doesn't pay me, because it was killing me to sit around the whole day, and my mind will work 24 hours. So I went to join an NPO, which now was going to the needy in the squatter camps, you know, to feed the hungry, to give them food. So this NPO was actually run by a Brazilian gentleman. And as we were now busy with this feeding the media and all that, we saw these trolley pullers, the waste pickers. And he said to me, you know, part of Brazil is killed because of these guys. And to me, I thought he was mocking me because I would confide in him and tell him how difficult my life is. And he's showing me these dirty guys, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but what does it have to do with me? Why these guys? I said, no, I was just saying, I mean, these guys, they make money from what they are doing. And that actually was a seed that was planted in me. Because whenever I was in a taxi and looking in the township, our townships are filthy. And I was wondering, to say, here I am suffering and the township is filthy. But it didn't make sense that why is everybody not picking up this waste and making money? Huh. So that's when the seed of waste management or picking up waste came to be planted in me. And that actually made me to now start wanting to know more, to say, what are they doing with this waste? You know, I see these people going up and down in the dustbin, but I got up courage and went to ask one of them to say, what do you do with this waste? They said, we just pick up and go sell and we make money. I was like, just like that?
Mm-hmm.
They said, yeah. And I said, you know, okay. And I had another obstacle because I wanted to do this, but now I had to come and explain to my wife, and I don't know what to call it, to say I want to go to the streets and pick up waste because they say they make money.
Yes, how did she respond?
She actually had tears in her eyes, you know, because my wife is a graduate. You know, she's somebody who's, you know, educated, and she said, but what do people say, you know? I mean, my family, I mean, they know that I'm married, and now what am I going to tell my mom to say, this guy is now going to pick up waste? I said, I don't know, but this thing, I mean, I just think that there is something I can start from this.
And how long did you do the waste picking for before you decided to start your business? How long were you?
Full 3 years, because I started in 2009 hitting the streets,
yeah.
And I actually learned around 2011 that actually this can be turned into a business.
Mm.
Remember, when I started it, I wanted to survive. In my mind, I wanted to feed my family. I wanted to become a man to my family. It was not about turning it into a business. So it was 3 years. And in 2011, when I actually learned that this can be turned into a business, that's when I took the opportunity and registered formally as a business.
Yes. And really, a lot of the lessons that you're sharing with us, or the points about the failures you've had, are around your business in the main, because you literally had to transform yourself into a business person. But that came with its own challenges. You said you didn't finish matric, so there wasn't any higher education. You say that a lack of financial management or even financial knowledge is one of the big failures. Tell me about how it impacted your realization and how it impacted your business.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest challenges that I faced. Because remember, when I now became passionate. It's actually passion. You know, passion is very dangerous sometimes. Because I was now passionate that I'm doing something with my life and I'm making a little bit of money. And when I learned that this can be turned into a business, I quickly went into that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, I started now having things like clients, suppliers, you know, buying and selling. But I didn't actually have that financial management skills or know how to manage money well. And I then became a buyback center in 2011, and it was busy. I mean, the township I had, at one point we had over 150 waste pickers that were actually I was buying from and selling to the recyclers. But the funny part is that I saw the money on the books, but in the bank it was not there. Mm-hmm. You know? And it frustrated me to the point that I actually had to close down the business to try and take a step back to say, no, something is not right. But I then realized and actually learned that there are training that I had to do when you go, because I didn't know anything about business.
Yeah.
So then I started applying. I didn't even have a computer. I had a BlackBerry, a small BlackBerry that had internet. I applied for an ED program. Well, fortunately enough, I was selected and I had to go do a presentation. I've never presented in my life. There were 12 guys that they said they were judges. Huh. I just went there, spoke about this waste, that I want to do this waste. I just need a bike. And I remember, think about 5 of them told me that you don't know what you are talking about. This thing is not going to fly. How can you start with I wanted a truck. Yeah. How can you start with a truck? It was very heartbreaking because it was the first time, you know, to receive that kind of feedback, and it was negative. I was frustrated. But somehow they called me and said, look, you made it. We think we can support you. And I was taken to Gibbs, you know, to go and study business. Now, Gibbs is another world. I get there. The language is different. They're talking marketing, they're talking the business language. I thought, I think it's a mistake for me to be here, you know. This is not where I belong. But part of me said, let me stay. So that's when I now started to learn about how to manage finances, how to actually deal with financial systems in the business, how to implement them. And coming back, that's when now I started this buyback center. And my business now not only was a small business, because when I was actually learning about these skills, I learned that I was in busyness. Not in business.
Hey!
I was busy, but not in business. So coming back, I came back with my own business plan. I came back now with a plan, with a strategy. Mm. And that took us to another level of the business.
That's just incredible. I have to hold back tears because I think so many people will know the experience that you went through, the hopelessness of unemployment. We were looking at unemployment numbers in this country and how 74% of young people in South Africa are without work. That's the expanded definition. And so sitting with that hopelessness and looking at how you were able to transform that into learning, into a business, into something that employs other people is absolutely really the stuff that we can say our country is built on, the stories that we can begin to build this country on, because it provides so much hope. But another issue that you raised was the fact that you had to wing it. You know, this comes back to the presentation, never having done a presentation, and yet you're expected to speak in front of a panel of all these people and somehow move up, you know, achieve some kind of success with very little foundation. And there are parts of your business where you say you were winging it, mm-hmm. and there were mistakes along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Because remember now, coming now to be trained about actually how to run a business. I'm a very passionate person, and I think especially, you know, having sat for a long time without being employed, I think the passion became overwhelming to me to say I'm doing something. And that passion, along the way, became a hindrance. It was just a stumbling block somewhere, somehow. Because coming back from learning about business, I was now knowing how to do, for example, the presentation that you're talking about, how the finances. So the next step was, okay, now I need to take this business to the next level. So whenever now I'll go to sell, because remember, I was just a collector, you know, from the waste that is picked up in the township, the people I will buy from them and then go to sell to the recyclers. But whenever we are, I would go and sell, I would just walk around the factories of those recyclers and wanting to know, what do they do with this waste?
You know?
And I just saw the machines, and in me, I said, I can do this, you know. Even though I didn't know, but I told myself, if I can get the opportunity, because I already have the waste, if I can get the machine, I will do it. And, you know, I pushed, I started now knowing how to apply opportunities where they are, business plans. And I was fortunate enough to get help to buy a recycling machine, which now process plastic into pellets. Now, the problem with that is that when we got those machines, again, we hit an obstacle because there was not enough research that was done about the market and actually about the industry itself when it comes to recycling and moving into the to the next level. So that again saw us making a lot of mistakes, because I've never learned production. I've never learned how to deal with an operation of manufacturing. So yeah, we pushed again for about 2 years, and unfortunately we had to close down again because there were new challenges. And I took a step back again.
Oh, I wonder what's happened to that line. Let's see if it'll come back to us. And Tateng is just going to check in on Tapo there. Tapo Mazibogo is our guest, the owner of K1 Recycling. Lots of stumbling blocks, lots of failures peppered across his life, but certainly lots of reward because he's proven to be quite resilient. Passion, as he says, can be a very dangerous thing. But it also, I think, is a testament of the experience of many people with the vision, with the dream, with the start. You know, when you have a start, but the foundation is not there for you to be able to turn the start into something incredible. Lots of people would have fallen and failed along the way, shut down the business, not see it grow to the point where it is today. And he's certainly someone who has managed to do that successfully. K1 Recycling is the name of his organization. Started just helping the guys, the waste pickers, move their bales from one point to the other, providing transport. Then he became a buyback center. And then we were at the point where he was investing in equipment, of course, to be able to do more in the recycling space. So Tsapo, we lost you there for a moment, but just giving a quick summary of where we are now, that there were new learnings that meant that operations had to halt again.
Yes, sorry about that. It's the new normal. I think electricity just came back and went down.
Yes.
So, as I was saying, that that came with its own challenges. We had to go back to the board with all equipment, because remember, now I've got all the resources. I've got cars to buy, like trucks that all over the place. To buy this waste. As good as it was on the outside, again, internally we faced new challenges.
Oh, Tsapo, you have to move just a little bit. The signal is breaking where you are. Just shift a little so that we can have a stronger connection.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Yes, carry on.
Okay.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, so that was the challenge that we had to face. We failed again and had to re-strategize and, this time tell ourselves to say, you know what, we're going back into this with a full understanding, because I had to go and now learn about production, the systems in production, and to put them in place, because I was operating now two operations. It was no longer just one company that was off Bipex Center, but it was manufacturing and the wash plant. So that actually I was not prepared for it, but I just jumped. So that's why I'm saying I was winging it.
You make a really interesting point about how there's often no sympathy for underdogs. And it's easy for someone to be locked out of opportunities, and not through a fault of their own in terms of not having passion or being willing to work hard, but just that the system disadvantages underdogs.
You know, that's a very painful one, Azza, because, I always meet with young people, we talk. I mean, I've been to parts of Africa, Uganda, Ghana, and we are so ground ready. to get into the system and work and try to make our improve ourselves. But somehow the system is in a way that no matter how much you push, that there's that pushback, you know, it just push back. If they hear that you are this K1 trying to make it, there's a lot of red tape that is around us. So that has been something that I had to, like, tell myself that, you know what, this is what I have to fight with everything that I have. And, yeah, it's a very difficult, but we are managing, we are pushing.
Yes.
We are pushing because, yeah, there's a lot of things happening around, yeah.
So as we conclude, I just want to share this WhatsApp, and it comes from Ngopi. Ngopi says, I remember listening to Tapo's testimony in church. He's such an inspiration and a humble man. Do a lot of mentorship, mentoring of young people, I should say, and you're very generous with your story, you know, where others might want to hold on to what they've learned, what's in their contact list. You're quite open with sharing and showing and demonstrating or just telling others how you did it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the experience. You know, for me, it was not that easy, you know, to get information. Because you would go to somebody's factory and ask, how is this done? And they will tell you, no, hey, we can't show you anything. And I told myself that, you know, simply speaking, you know, you are blessed to bless others. You're not blessed to be out there and be shining. This is what I believe in. So I told myself to say, whatever that I'm learning, I mean, with my story, as everybody is so fascinated, it amazes me as well. And I thought, you know what, I'm actually going through this, not only for me, but for my people, for my country as well. You know, I'm like the Moses of South Africa to say, because recycling is something that as black people, we never knew. You know, it's, yeah. For us, it was waste management. But now we know that actually we can make money from this. And a lot of young people, old people want to be into this space. And I believe that it's my duty to teach others. Even though, yes, we know that I need help. I mean, I'm doing this on my own. Others think that, Tepo, you don't want to help us. I'm saying, look, I'm still looking for partners. My passion now is more than just picking up waste, but I want to go out there and actually help the next person, help those who want to be into this business. But alone, I can't do it. But I'm hoping and praying that things will come right. But that is what I'm all about now, actually empowering the youth, because there is a lot of opportunities. I mean, we can create a lot of jobs. I'm telling you that if you look at our township, there's potential. You look at that waste. For me, I always look at it and I cringe to say, you know how much chairs we can manufacture from this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've been to Burkina Faso. They manufacture your caskets, coffins from banana peel. You know, the peels from the banana, they process that and minister. So even with us, there's a lot that can be done. But yeah, step by step, I believe that we'll get there if we get the right support.
And in 30 seconds, Tepo, what do you now think of failure? How do you define failure?
Failure for me is part of the building block. It's like a stair, part of your stair. So I think we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should look forward to failing. You know, because that's where I've learned as well. I had to fail. Even now, I'm still failing with a lot of things, but I'm very confident now. You know, when I fail, I know that, you know what, I'm doing something right. So, yeah, I just want to say, failure is actually, we were taught that we need to be afraid of it, but we shouldn't be. We should actually go head on, and because that's where we're going to learn. It's like just a newborn baby. They can't speak, they can't read, they can't do anything, but to walk, they have to fall a lot of time until they actually start walking. So, to me, failure is actually a blessing.
Wow. I salute you, Tepo. Absolutely
Thank you.
Like I said, you are a champ, a definition of, you know, what a serious South African champ looks like. Lots of messages as well coming in. Kakatsi says, I grew up with Tepo. We're pleased at how he turned his life around and started something from scratch and rises to the levels that he's at now. Another one from Justice Ngwepe says, Tepo is a lifesaver to so many families and God gave us him for a purpose. I'm loving his testimony. May you continue to grow, Tepo. Thank you so much for your vulnerability and, of course, for the great work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Azza, and all the best to you and your radio station.
Oh, man. That is Tepo Mazibogo.